This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
And likewise for a people. We don't need everybody. We just need a small percentage of the people to serve as the heart and the head for the whole people. That's the way God made it. That's the way it's been since the beginning of time. It's not going to change. So some of us imams and some of us good brothers and sisters, we waiting for everybody to come up and say, I'm ready to go to work. No, you got three or four, be happy. You got three or four out of 3,000 or 4,000, be happy. Work with that three or four. God has chosen you to serve the many. He's chosen you to free the many, to liberate them, and take them to the goal line. Huh? He's chosen you. So let's get out of that old spirit that we've been in for so long, waiting on everybody to be converted. That won't work. It never did. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was one man left by W. Farad, the professor who taught him, left by him, and he was one man. He came by himself. He said that, I come alone by myself. One man. And then he left one man to be our leader, Elijah Muhammad. And that one man, he didn't have no brothers and sisters saying, I want to be your partner in this. No, they said, teach us, dear Holy Apostle. Teach us. And would wait for him to say when the next step is going to be made. They wouldn't come up and say, well, it's time to make this step now, dear Holy Apostle, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's time for us to make this step now. No, they wait for him. And most of you all are still in that same mind. Poets became popular when I started writing. This is a fact. Business got back on your minds when I started going into business. Yeah, it's a fact. Now that shouldn't be. Sophisticated societies have members that will come to their leader and say, well, I think it's good that we start investing in such and such thing. They don't wait for their leader all the time to make a move. Those who are best qualified in certain areas, in certain professional areas, they should be alert. They should be alert. They should be watchmen for all the rest of us. And when they see an opportunity or something that's good for the whole, they should bring it to the leader. Yes, you should bring it to the leader. Because the leader in position to help the many and to do it quicker and faster than you, quicker and perhaps more effectively than you, because you are not having their ears and many times their hearts like their leader. So you want to get something done and help the many, you should come to the leader with it. Not that you have to, no, you don't have to, because wherever you are. And I know what I hear a lot in our community. Can't get to the leader. They blocked the way. Can't get to the leader. They blocked the way. You're a weak follower. The only way people can block me from getting to my leader if I know I can help him and the many, they have to kill me. And I ain't one that wants to die. So first thing I do is call 911. I say, he's my pastor, he's my minister, he's my leader, he's my imam, and got some brutes that won't let me see him. And believe me, they'll come talk to those brutes. They'll come see him. I know because I experienced that once. Yeah? Some brutes trying to use brute force to stop me from doing what I have to do. I went to police department, and one of the detectives that spoke to me, he said, oh, he said, so-and-so, that's who's doing this? I said, I know him, and we're going to talk to him. And they did. I never got any more word from them. No more problem. So 911 works, I'm telling you. It really works. Family life in the care of devoted females is where people should qualify for citizenship. Now, I don't know if we give any thought to the meaning of citizenship. I don't think we do. Because we take our citizenship for granted. We're born citizens, you know. We know we were born citizens of the United States. So unless a situation has to be faced that requires us to learn more about the meaning of citizenship, we won't have it. And by the behavior that I see in most of the people born citizens in this country, I don't think they really know the meaning of citizenship. Citizenship, I quote, should, this is dictionary, Random House dictionary, citizenship should bring to mind a certain behavior expected of persons or individuals. Now, this is me, but when I get the quote, I'm going to tell you. But all of this that I'm giving you, my words, but on citizenship as the dictionary gives it. When there's a direct quote, I'll give you the direct quote. I'll let you know this is a direct quote. Civic-minded community servants who have been awarded for good citizenship, they know its meaning. Now, quote, this is a quote from the dictionary. The state of being vested with the rights, privileges, and duties of a citizen. That's what citizenship means. When we behave in this society, we behave as though the citizenship is just freedom for us or rights for us, but with no obligations. So listen as I continue here. The character of an individual viewed as a member of society. Now, let's stop right there. Citizenship includes in its meaning the character of an individual viewed as a member of society. The character of an individual. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the last of our great teachers and reformers and freedom fighters, he said a day will come. He believed, he hoped for it, and he believed that, he said, in fact, he promised us, a day will come when a man will not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. By the content of his character. Now, that's not important enough for our leaders that are here in the absence of Dr. King. That's not important enough for them to register, for them to give serious thought to it, and for them to reflect the same principle and the same interest that Dr. King was carrying, to reflect it when they speak to us. Since him, how many have been telling us to measure up to the content of your character that the church wants for you, or that God created you for? How many have been telling us that? Huh? I haven't heard any. If they are around and doing that, they are not public figures. The public figures, I don't hear them saying things like that. I don't hear them even showing an awareness that they appreciated the real value of Dr. King's leadership. The real value of his leadership is not seen in telling the white man off or pressing for more opportunities for us. That's not his real value. His real value is where that power was coming from. And that power to put himself at risk, to put his life at risk, to put himself on the spot for others, that power was coming from his human values and his human principles. That's where the power was coming from. So the man without his values and without his human principle is a man without power, and a man that would never have been able to get the respect that he got from our people, from Jews, from whites, and from many, many in high places, both in the religious world and the secular world. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we lose our leaders. They don't die. We bury them. Dr. King is never dead in my life. That one thing he said is enough to keep him alive in my life. That a time will come when a man will not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Over the many years since the passing of Dr. King, whites and their children have read his words and been affected by his words. And now they care more about his leadership than his own people do. Yes? And I fought our leaders. You got to fault the leaders. As I said, the head is a percentage of the body, a small percentage of the body. The head should be responsible, not the whole people. The leaders are responsible. Those are the ones we should hold responsible. Further, giving you the meaning in the dictionary of citizenship. Behavior, and I'm quoting the dictionary now, behavior in terms of the duties, obligations, and functions of a citizen. Look how much is in citizenship. Behavior in terms of the duties, obligations, and functions of a citizen. So if we don't understand our rights, we cannot respect our rights. So the rights of citizenship involves more than just the right to live in this country and go free, enjoy whatever is open to the public, etc. It carries heavy meanings for you as responsible life. All life is created to be responsible life. Responsible life. Your stomach tells you you're hungry. It doesn't tell me. When you're hungry, your stomach tells you it's hungry. Now, if you die of starvation with all the food within your reach to eat, but you died of starvation, you could be my brother, blood brother. And I would say, well, hell, I didn't know what was happening to him. It was his stomach that was letting them know some food needed to be put in it. Not my stomach. But if I see him losing a lot of weight or something, I say, hey, man, what's happening? You're losing a lot of weight. And you say, well, I don't have no appetite. And I'll see that he goes to the doctor. I'll see he gets some help. But the most important consumer of things to help life survive and prosper is not the physical stomach down there, but it's the mind up here. The mind up here. And many of us are just going on through the world. The intelligence doesn't feed and alert like the stomach does, you see. So we're going along and just passing up all the good food and opportunities for our mind to feed on and grow better and be more productive. And we're just passing it. We can't register. We don't register appetite, mental appetite. We don't register mental hunger. We don't register intellectual hunger and the need for intellectual growth. We don't register this. We're just caught by fun life and just going through the world carefree and living more in the animal state of life or existence than we're living in the human state of existence. Now, everything I tell you is supported by Scripture. I don't speak unless I'm supported by Scripture. You see? So, don't think that this is something coming from me or he's trying to impress us with what he knows. No, I'm not. I'm trying to impress you with what you don't know. And I hope you'll start wanting to know more. Wonderful. God is greater. So we have people, they're awarded the award for good citizenship. And when they're awarded for that, for good citizenship, it is because they are conscious citizens. Conscious citizens. So many of us are citizens, but we're not conscious citizens. We're not conscious. Anytime a citizen comes through the neighborhood with his car window down, and he throws banana peelings out on the street, or some barbecue rib bones out on the street, he's not a conscious citizen. Anytime you come in the neighborhood and there's trash and garbage all over the neighborhood and yards are not attended, that's proof that they are not conscious citizens living in that area. Now, I'm not always ready to condemn them, no, because many of them can't help their conditions. Some of them need to see a psychiatrist. I'm serious, I'm not joking. Some of them need to see a psychiatrist. Some of them can be helped if they just see a social worker, especially one that attends the needs of families. Mm-hmm. So some of them are not responsible for their conditions because their sense of what they should be doing is not present in them anymore. Bad things have had traumatic effect on them, and they are not able to function intelligent as human beings anymore. We are our brother's keeper. Those who see that are supposed to do something to help those people, to help them. When I look at neighborhoods where African-American neighbors, residents cannot accept that their own dignity is insulted when they don't have a business showing in the freedom space that they occupy. Don't have a business showing. They go to everybody else to purchase their needs, go out of their neighborhood to purchase their needs. Or go to someone who has come into their neighborhood and open businesses in their neighborhood. But they don't come home from work and pass by all these other people making money in their neighborhood and feel that their dignity is insulted. So those are people that need to be rescued from their own bad mental state. And that's what we should do. That's why the work that I give my life to is supported by so many of you good brothers and sisters in Chicago area and throughout these United States and in places beyond the United States, like Bermuda. I love to visit Bermuda because I go down the main business artery of a street in Bermuda, Main Street in Bermuda, and I see the presence of Muslims that belong to us, the presence of their businesses along that street. Oh, that's so comforting to me. So satisfying, satisfying in my heart and soul and mind to see their presence there. We have to have more of that. Now I'm going back to a sense of ownership. And I'm going to conclude it with a brief discussion of a sense of ownership. It's a requirement in our soul. God put it there. If you don't believe in God, Mother Nature put it there. It's a requirement in our soul that we own something. We are born owning something. We have to grow up to be responsible for what we own, but we are born owning our own bodies. When we come from our mothers, a full, healthy person, it is expected that we will grow up and one day become responsible for our personal life, for our individual, our personal life. That we will be moved by an innocence of my worth, of my personal worth, we'd be moved by that to say, Mama, I don't want you working and taking care of me anymore. I'm going out and get me a job. I'll find me a job. And if you have the right caretaking mama, you grow up with that sense. And my mother, I don't think I was old enough to go to school. I wasn't. And she said, your brother is going to be washing the windows. She gave me a bucket, a little water in it, and a rag. She said, I want you to clean the baseboard. And I cleaned the baseboard. I was washing the baseboard. Now, that's just one example. That's just one thing. But there were other things, too. You all go out and rake the leaves up in the front yard. And Junior, you put the garbage on the street for the pickup, you know? We had to do things. And that taught us that we have shared freedom space. You're not free to be in this house and do nothing. You're free to be in this house and share responsibility for the whole house. You have to have a share in it. Well, now let's apply that to the public domain. Don't we have a share of responsibility for the public domain? And I said earlier, we own it. The citizens own everything in the United States of America. We own everything. Only thing we don't own is what we own privately or individually. But everything that's public, we have a share in it. We have a share in the ownership of that. And if any individual neglects his own ownership, he can lose the rights of ownership. You know that? If you have a piece of property and you keep neglecting your responsibility to keep that property up, law can take that property from you. And the easy way they take it is you don't pay your taxes, and then the government takes it, right? Or you don't pay your mortgage, and the mortgage people take it. Mortgage companies take it. But you can pay your mortgage, you can pay your taxes, But if you let your property be neglected, and they warn you, and you don't do anything about it, they can take that property from you. And it's not a new thing. That was in the time of our prophet, when he established Islam as the way for us. Have also established that anyone who finds property unattended and nobody is caring for it, you can take that property, and if you care for it, it will be regarded as your property. You will be regarded as the owner of that piece of property. And I think they say in the American law, occupation is so much percent of the right to own. Occupation. Well, somebody don't occupy the property, the real owner, he won't occupy it, and he's not taking care of it. You go there, and you start living there, and you start taking care of that piece of property. When the owner comes back and say, hey, that's my property, take him to court. And tell the courts, I found this property vacant, and nobody taking care of it. And I tried to reach the owner, I couldn't reach him. I waited for him, he never showed up. Now that I've improved this property, he wants it. And the judge will tell him, you neglected the property, you abandoned it, and this person has invested it. Give him his full investment or give up your right to the property. So the law is still there. The law is the same law that was established in Islam. And believe me, civilizations just inherit each other. A new civilization inherited a civilization that died before it. And inheriting it, it also inherited the wisdom that was left, the laws that was left, the civilization that they discovered, and one feeds the other. Like the dead earth gives life to another planting, huh? Another planting, so that there be another harvest. Ownership. I was teaching in the school in Chicago, and I noticed that the children needed a sense of ownership. So I started telling the children. I said, you know whose property this is? This building where we have school? I said, you know who it belongs to? I said, it belongs to us Muslims. Aren't you a Muslim? Aren't you one of us? It belongs to you too. So I started talking to them that way. And they started coming into a sense of ownership, the feeling that they own that property. Their attitude and behavior improved toward the property. Yes. Now, you know, the soul has in it a need to promote a sense of ownership. It's inherent in the soul. Now, the psychology of the soul is hurt when that claim to ownership is not real. It was a long time in these United States, after we were freed from chattel slavery, after we were freed to come up north or go where we want in the United States, freed from the plantation slavery. But were we truly free as an intelligence, as an intellect, as a mind? No. The mind was left burdened because the citizenship was not real.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.